pushes us to our goal. It really does. And we see that in Philippians 3:13. Paul here is saying in the New Testament, and this, and we're going to get into the Old Testament scriptures, into Habakkuk, and wonderful scriptures here on this teaching. And this title, Life Has an Expiration Date. You know, life is short, and it has an expiration date for you. You have an expiration date. God is going to call you one of these days. He's going to call you home. So let's do the very best we can on this earth. Well, here in Philippians 3:13, Paul is saying, I love this. This is when he was in jail. This is when he was in the dungeons in Rome. And this little book of Philippians is a book of joy. And I know that what reading and listening to, who's the guy who's in Russia, who has a ministry in Russia, who wrote, and they went to Rome, and they toured the dungeons.
Yeah, it's a guy over in Russia.
And he has so many books
We'll think about it.
Anyway,
we've heard him personally.
He and his family, and I've got it on the tip of my tongue. I know that you listening know.
Here's what Barbara will do. While I'm talking, she'll be going through the alphabet till she comes up with his name, right?
That's right, I will. Well, anyway, he and his family went on a vacation to Italy, and they went to Rome, and they really asked to go down to where Paul had been. And he said it was the main sewer for Rome, where these dungeons had been. And he says the stench was still there. And I can't imagine Paul being knee-deep in this sewage with his hands chained. And he did dictate some of this to scribes. But, you know, Darren, I just can't imagine this. But here in the third chapter of Philippians, he's saying, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Excuse me. But one thing I do, and I love, and this is the part I want you to get, forgetting what lies behind. Forget those failures that lie behind. Forget that past that you did not meet your goals. Forget it. And risk stepping out and doing something new for God. If God is for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:31. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Now, there are 2 points here. First, you forget what lies behind. You truly do. You make a mark in the sand. You draw a line on your floor in your house, and you say, I'm crossing over here, and I'm never looking back. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of Philippians says, I press on toward the goal for the prize. We all want prizes, Darren. Are we willing to press for that goal that God has for each and every one of us?
You know, I believe that it's kind of, there's an action and reaction. If we refuse to press in, circumstances will press against us.
Yes.
And I have watched people, and in fact, I've watched some of my family, where they just messed around, and they were procrastination to the max. And one day it caught up with them. And one day it seems like they harvested everything in just a very short period of time, and it was all negative, all bad, all destruction. Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm going to tell you, don't pay that price. Get up and go after it. And again, I alluded this scripture a while ago, but I'm going to read it to you. It's in Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You don't want to be a shrink. In fact, I did a teaching on that one time. I have a lot of acquaintances that are shrinks. They're busy shrinking back. They're timid. They're afraid. They're fearful. They're apprehensive. They're the exact description of procrastination, and that's exactly what they major in. Mm-hmm. And they lose. And their families lose. And many of these are heads of households,
yeah,
which is really sad.
Really,
then the
is.
Wife or the husband suffers, and the kids suffer, and everybody around them suffers. I think that's tragic, and everybody around them is trying to make up for, you know, the loss, and trying to hold this person together, and because of their family, and I just think that's an absolute tragedy. I think it's a sin, S-I-N, mm-hmm, when they don't get up and go for it because they have Jesus.
I do too. I realize that there are so many women out there that, you know, maybe you were a housewife and your husband was the provider, and all of a sudden he's gone. He's out of the house for one reason or another, an affair or whatever, and he's gone and you're alone. Well, you're not alone. And Darren, I think of the book of Ruth and how this Moabitess could have stayed in her own hometown, in her own land, and yet she followed her mother-in-law. she really felt a kinship and an obligation to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to the land of Israel. And she didn't procrastinate. She hung on to her. She says, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with you. And she decided that life was better, even in the unknown, where she'd never been before, than what she had. And she went with her mother-in-law, and the beautiful story of how Boaz fell in love with her, how she worked. Her mother-in-law told her how to go to the fields, pick up the grain, and go to the field of Boaz, her near kinsman, and they would leave grain at the edge of the fields, and these workers would pick up the grain like orphans or widows would have the edges of the field. They were not to harvest those. Those were left for the homeless and those that needed the grain. And Ruth came home with a little bushel of wheat, and they lived on that until the beautiful circumstances. I encourage you to read the book of Ruth, where Boaz met her, and he was not only her kinsman redeemer, but he became her husband, and she was a great-great-grandmother, eventually, of King David. But this is a story of a woman who did not procrastinate.
But though what was her short-term and immediate goal was taking care of Naomi.
That's true, yes.
And Boaz saw how faithful she was to Naomi.
Yes.
And, I mean, it must have just blown him away how she served her, and how she took care of her and cared for her.
Yeah.
And he thought, this woman has a quality. Mm. And I believe, Barbara, when we deny procrastination to take over, there's some qualities that become evident about people around us, or to people around us. I heard a man say that there is someone in your framework or in your circle that has the ability to abundantly bless you. Maybe you're around a Boaz, and you don't even know how much they could help you if they were impressed with your lifestyle and your spunk and your desire to live a quality life.
I want to ask you a question. Have there been people in your life that you have viewed or you have watched, you wanted to give them something, and because of their laziness and slothfulness, you did not?
Well,
and you don't have to mention, but you know, just a yes would be probably.
Well, matter of fact, yes. And
yes.
In fact, I was in a position to give a house away, and a young couple needed a house. But they were not paying the price spiritually to warrant that receipt of that. And it would have been a tremendous blessing for them. But I felt restrained by the Lord because they weren't ready to receive a marvelous gift like a home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I did quite a bit of thinking, praying about it, and I would have done it. Except the recipients weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
They weren't showing me that they had the quality assets spiritually and in their behavior and the way they conducted their lives that they would have appreciated the gift.
Well, and of course, we shouldn't be working, you know, so that we impress others. That's not the reason for working. You work because God has given you a goal in life. Right now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would reach into the hearts of our precious listeners and give them a goal that just for them, Jesus, that you would give them an idea, give them a plan, give them a pattern by which they can really put all their energy into it. And Jesus, I ask that energia would go into them, that Zoe life that only you can provide for us, Jesus, that you can give to us so that we can have added energy to our life and we can work for a goal, as Paul said here in Philippians 3. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing this for our friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Barbara, I don't like to say this, but I feel impressed to say it, so I'm going to do it. If we would look at some of the foreigners that come into our country and they realize, oh my goodness, there's opportunities all over the place. I think about some of the Orientals that come in. In fact, there's an Oriental family, I believe, that delivers our newspaper every morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, I can hear it come on the porch. It's always right by the door. It's not out in the yard. It's not, you know, out on the sidewalk. It's right by the door, so I can take about 2 steps at most and pick up the morning paper. They're very, very faithful. And hard workers. I've seen them. I was up one morning, and I watched them across the street. They were running from house to house, and then across the street to service our place. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Then I think of a lot of our Latinos that have come in here. Whether they got here legally or not, they're hard workers.
Well, can I say something in defense of the Americans? And I've seen this. that once you